Hello. Welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, and I'm joined by Harry and Beau.
Hey.
And today, we're going to be talking about something very special. Gamergate 2, boys! It's happened! Sequel's finally
We've
here.
Been living through it for years. What are you talking about? Games have sucked for ages.
Yep.
We live in the shadow of Gamergate. Did it ever really end?
The shadow of Anita Sarkeesian's... I'll leave you to fill the blanks there in your segment.
The next segment will be about an ode to Iceland, a beautiful land, and Trump and Super Tuesday. So we're actually doing some proper news instead of just the bollocks I come up with. So there we are. So I have some announcements to make. So first announcement being this one on the screen with the bad man, Tommy Robinson. He is
Rombo
here.
Tombo.
He was in the studio a minute ago. He's gone for lunch now.
He walked past me.
But he'll be back later.
Shorter than I thought.
Yeah, come on, you're a giant. That happens to everyone you meet. Yeah.
This is true.
Unnecessarily short. What are you, 6'7"? What are you?
No, 6'3".
Is that all? Oh, you seem taller, maybe with the hair on top. And...
Maybe.
You seem taller than that. Okay.
Maybe, anyway. It's how you all about how you present. Come on.
But anyway, Calvin Robinson, Common Sense Crusade, premium show. It's going live 3 p.m. after this, so get your tea and biscuits, come back, or you sign up to get access to it. Well, you need to sign up to get access to it. Special guest, Tommy Robinson. He'll be in. He'll be there. You can send in questions, talk to them, and get responses.
This Here picture makes you two look related.
Oh, Russia, the Valley, what are you? Anyway, one more announcement to make, which is that there's a job. It's on the website. You got to be signed out to see it because the website's bugged. But you go on the website, you sign out, and then you scroll down to the bottom. There's a careers page, and there's a job. Read it if you want it. Apply. If you don't. Bye.
I want to see you on a street corner selling people random products. This could be a video idea for the future. We'll just give you something random, like, here's this slipper. Sell someone this slipper, and then I film it from a distance.
How long have you been looking for slippers?
I've got a pair of slippers, thanks, mate.
All right, how long have you been looking for slippers?
Yeah, I don't wear house
Are you trying
shoes?
To go with the Wolf of Wall Street method, where, oh, give me that pen. Do you need a pen? I'll sell you this one.
Yeah, well, I can't sell you slippers if you don't want slippers.
But you need to make me want the slippers.
No,
you've obviously not learned anything from Edward Bernays. Slippers are a lifestyle. They're a lifestyle way of expressing yourself.
Who's the Edward Bernays?
You don't know? Cousin of Sigmund Freud? Came up with modern PR, convinced women in America to
I'm pretty stupid, man.
He basically led the PR campaign, the propaganda campaign in the 1950s for why America was all right to bomb some of the banana republics out there. Well, he helped set up some of the banana republics.
Sounds like a good guy. All right.
How did you not know about this? I suppose I've been researching different things than you.
Fair enough. Well, speaking of research, Gamergate 2, the mediocre sequel. It's out. You can play now. Come and join in the fight. You don't know what I'm talking about? Well, neither do I. Well, getting into it, this is Steam Curators. You not heard of Steam Curators?
I have, actually.
I haven't.
Pretty useless.
I don't think I've ever been on Steam, so I'll... take a back seat a little on this one.
You're gonna come join Helldivers, boy. We're on Discord and everything. But okay, you got Steam, you play games on Steam. Right. Now Steam thought, hey, there's a lot of games, there's a lot of crap. So maybe we should have a system where some creators you could follow, they would recommend or not recommend games. And then you follow them, and then if you like them, presumably you buy the games they recommend and avoid the ones they don't. Good system. Now, as you can see, it's not very interesting. PC gamer is a thing, corporate, so I don't care.
Oh wow.
Just good PC games. Sounds all right. 600,000 followers. But if you scroll down, you know, you get some, you know, meme ones.
Oh, the Doge? Doge?
Yeah.
He likes Helldivers too.
But then there's this one. Sweet Baby Ink Detected.
Heard of them.
Is now the sixth most followed curator for all of Steam.
Oh, Assassin's Creed Valhalla. That's another example of... you know those Vikings and ancient Celts? Yeah, they were all black.
It was gay and black and women. You don't know what Sweet Baby Ink is. We've been over it previously. Harry alluded to all this. They are these guys, and I've had to archive it because their website is crashing because too many people are going there to see the atrocity that it is.
I'm glad I did my part.
You did indeed. Now, I'm going to read you just a couple of lines from their approach page. They say, Sweet Baby Ink is an inclusive, focused narrative and consultation company. So they're cancer. So they also say, we bring in diverse voices to solve diverse problems.
I like that a lot of the scrutiny that's dropped on them. They've been around for a few years now. consulting on games, because Valhalla came out, what, like 2020, 2021? It's when they involved themselves in a game that killed Batman in the most disrespectful way possible that everybody went, nah, I've had enough now. You don't hurt my boy like that.
So talking of...
you leave Bruce alone.
Diverse problems. Sweet Baby Inc. provides narrative consultation at any stage of development, boasting a team of diverse talent. So you know the game. You know how this works. Local cancer merchants sell game company cancer on the basis that if you don't, we'll call you racist and sexist. Not new. I mean, this old, you know, situation is all going on. As you can see here, they're trying to now hide this person is alluding to here. So this is their mission statement before and after this blew up. The before section, they're like, yes, we wish to make the games more diverse. And now they've deleted that because, well, they've been found out. And this isn't new, of course. Gamergate 1, you may remember, was because of this cancerous individual who turned up and was like, I don't like video games or play them. Fix them. Local woman who doesn't like or play video games is going to tell the video games industry how
to run themselves. That really was possibly the most remarkable thing about this. I remember when all this blew up back in the day, I was thinking, oh, okay, well, you know, a woman complains about video games. That's something on its... Wait, she doesn't play them?
Yeah.
What?
Clear grift. As you can see here, she's still around, amazingly. She also does consulting, just like Sweet Baby Inc. Looking to make your video game project more inclusive? No! No, I'm not! Go away, you good old hussy.
What about making them fun?
Yeah, like Helldivers. Anyway, so this is a guy who's made a link of all the different consulting groups who all do the same kind of cancerous thing. And some of them are tied to Sweet Baby Games, but it's all the same crap. You know the score at this point.
It's always slightly surprising to me how many companies or organizations or projects are involved in all this sort of thing. Obviously, gaming is only one small corner of the wider drive to diversify and subvert. But even in gaming, look how many there are.
Yeah. These people are stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars.
It's a big grift. And as far as I can tell, a lot of the time it's industry insiders paying people that they're already associated with and friends with to do things they're already planning on doing. Because what I found from research was that Sweet Baby Inc., all the members had been part of massive studios like Ubisoft for years before they actually started it. And so these were people already in these companies doing things the companies were already planning on doing, but you can circulate the money. Give money to your friends to do things you're already planning on doing. And there are lots of people in those companies. We've had comments from people anonymously stating that the companies are filled with lower-end workers who are doing the coding, doing the heavy lifting, who don't want any of this stuff, but they need a job. It's the higher-ups.
Some loser who's like, I want a black woman in it, so I'm going to pay Anita Sarkeesian to insist that we need a black woman. That's right. A consulting fee. But getting back to that Steam thing over here, because as you can see, can we give it a click? How do we do this? Computer. I'm not logged in. Damn it. Whatever. Point being, there's a whole bunch of games here that they list, and Sweet Baby Inc. is a
Can you
creator.
Not just click on their name to see the full list?
That's it. Oh my god. Technology. They don't recommend sheet. They just don't recommend things that have Sweet Baby Inc. attached to them. They're like, yeah, don't get it. Mm. Trust me. You know those cancer merchants that you keep hearing about? Yeah, they're involved with this one, so leave it be. And that's the purpose in this whole thing. And it seems to be a pretty good suggestion, if nothing else, because as you mentioned earlier, that Suicide Squad game. This is the game that Sweet Baby Inc. worked on. And as you can see, these are the player counts, according to Steam. That's when it launched. That's, you know, people going to bed and waking up. And then there's nobody. Nobody playing it.
And that's after just over a month.
A month. It's struggling to get 500 people at any time playing the video game.
That's a hell of a drop.
And that's in the whole world, in the whole internet, that is, I take it.
Everyone on
right.
Steam.
Oh, on Steam at least, right. Okay, right.
Have you got any figures for the game, not Gotham Knights, but Batman Arkham Knight, what that's still doing these days? Because that was the last really well-received Rocksteady game back from 2015, so 9 years old now.
Not off the top of my head. John is doing the Googling as we speak.
Watch yeah. Check that out. Arkham Knight. Arkham Knight. Knight spelled K, yeah, there we go. Yeah, well, see what that's doing right now.
How old is that one?
That's 9 years old.
9 years old.
And it's got 10 times the players.
Yep. All right. See, that the point being, you know, game good, more important than game got cancer. I know it's a weird sell.
Mm.
Tough thing for the industry to learn. But you got to learn it if you like the smell of money. So there we are. So what's been happening is that literally some Portuguese, well, they're not Portuguese, they're Brazilian, so New World Portuguese, got together and made that creators page, and it's blown up to 200,000. It might not seem that big compared to like YouTube channels or something, obviously, but that's the sixth biggest creator page on all of Steam, which is the, you know, one place for gaming at this point, de facto. Not saying it should be, it's de facto is.
And that's pretty good. 200,000, however you want to measure it, is decent.
But in the gaming world of, you know, and especially in Steam, to be the sixth biggest thing of anything in Steam is amazing.
Mm.
So that's a massive, massive thing in that area. So what happened? Well, this pissed off all the right people, because of course it did. I mean, I showed you that they're rewriting their website as we speak, trying to hide it. But a local reporter also joined and was trying to dox them. So these are the messages from their Discord and the reporter's messages in here. Hello, would anyone in this group be willing to answer a few questions for Kotaku? Journo detected. Yeah. I love how you can see it's in Portuguese here. Like, these people, she's writing in English. I'm sorry, just rude, if nothing else. Just curious if I could speak to any of the creators of this server. Just want to talk to you. I'm still here, smiley face. Yes. Yes, you are. Don't know why. And then it goes on to talk about here about why don't any of you have your names, pictures associated with your accounts?
Because you're snooping around.
Hello, SS. No, I will not give you my full name. You utter snake. I mean, I'm sorry, but this is, you know, utterly transparent. And guess what this person did? Well, they work at Kotaku, so they wrote a dog shit article complaining about it. So here we go. As you can see, Sweet Baby Ink doesn't do what some gamers think it does. And then her name.
To be fair, that line underneath the headline where it says they're not forcing it in is technically lines up with what I've been saying. Yeah, these companies, they're already planning on doing this to their games, but they've found a way to pay their buddies to pretend to do it as well.
The mafia does not force you to pay protection money.
Yeah.
Especially if you're related to the mafia.
It's just a moot point. It's just an obvious lie. I'm going to read some of this because it's revealing how much of a liar this whole situation is. She writes, its employees have faced rampant harassment as a direct result of this Steam curator. That's bollocks. Because of their actions. Yeah. Industry figures have had to deny allegations that Sweet Baby Inc. comes in and completely changes their games. I wonder why that is. Sweet Baby Inc. isn't forcing diversity. It's happening naturally. Yeah. Just like getting your legs broken for not paying the due money. Its work is focused on writing stories and dialogue. They are not a diversity, equity, and inclusion consultancy firm. That means that they ensure the game's plot points make logical sense and are satisfying to players, and that characters speak and behave in consistent ways.
Right, okay.
They're just humble writers.
If that was all that they were doing, I watched Mauler's Super Cup of Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. They suck at that too. They're awful at that. Right, you're facing against the Flash, a man who can move faster than literally the speed of time, according to it. And instead of, you know, just breaking all of their necks, he just runs around in circles waiting for you to shoot him and stand still.
Amazing writing from an amazing team. This author, though, now you can tell that she's a sincere person trying to find the truth, because she didn't do what you just did and go to the material and find out if it's true. She just went to Sweet Baby Inc. CEO and asked him. And he said yes. Well, that's enough. That's my work done. I'm going home.
I believe you might have just misgendered Callum. I believe that their CEO is a woman of colour.
Oh, I misspoke. It's the co-founder.
All right.
David Bedard.
Oh, I think he's the white French-Canadian who seems to do most of the work.
But isn't...
of course it is.
Isn't gamer journalism an oxymoron? There's no journalism involved.
There could be.
I mean, right, well, it's not impossible, but it's not really, to call it journalism is a bit much, a bit strong, really.
And this was what the whole Gamergate thing was about in the first place, when you found out all of the journalists were just friends with all of the people that they were supposedly scrutinizing.
Or literally having sex with the games they were reviewing.
Or having, they're having sex with the games, were they?
They had sex with Depression Quest. That's.
It was a really innovative game, the way you could do that.
back to the co-founder before I do something else stupid. He says,
came with a number of peripherals to help.
He says, contrary to popular belief, the people making the games want to make an experience better for all players, and that the more diverse and more representative the product, that's just a byproduct of the games getting better. Okay, I'm not going to waste your time with any more of these obvious lies.
I mean, well, no. To be fair, that part is true. These companies are already full of at least the top decision makers in these gaming companies, full of woke retards that want to do this anyway.
Yeah, but he says that we're going to make the games better.
Well, yeah, that's
and the as
lie.
A result, they become more diverse. It's
that's
like,
the lie. Yeah.
Mm. I'm not. Come on, I play games. I don't know what's going on because I play them and get disappointed and then drop out for ages. But getting back to the story, because remember this dude? Remember Potato Man? No, I'm being rude, but he's a great guy.
No, that was great. I still stand by. As did nothing wrong. As did nothing wrong. Yeah, no.
He was entirely right. Because another one of the games Sweet Baby Inc. worked with is Starfield. And you may remember the pronoun bullshit that was in there for no goddamn reason. Literally, it was just there to push ideology. And, well, he's been proven right. In fact, someone owes him an apology. Because you may remember this.
Oh, yeah, I've been seeing this as it's been developing this morning.
Yeah. So this is a fella, the act man over here, who was responding to a local man shouting about pronouns. Gorilla-shaped man on the verge of crime. Because Starfield lets you pick pronouns. And then mocking him and saying he should grow up. And then a couple of months later. So I started looking into Sweet Baby Inc., and I cannot fathom why the game studio would hire the narrative consultancy group. Isn't that what lead writers are for? Why not just hire a better writing team in-house, Lamel? Yes. It's almost like they're not actually writers. Instead, commissars. Which is why you end up with fucking pronouns.
to highlight something else I found out in my Suicide Squad segment, when there was the video that they released on their YouTube channel, which was a horribly boring hour-long discussion giving the history of the entire group. One of the things that I highlighted that they said that we watched was that the woman in charge said that, we don't really care about deadlines. If you do a script in an hour, as long as that's as long as it meets our standards, that's fine. So the whole thing is like they just want to make their staff comfortable, not really have to do anything. And if you shit out a script in an hour, as long as it hits the deadline, that's fine.
As long as it reaches our standards. Your standards are...
I, of course, really like Az. There's a bit of content on the website from a year or two ago where I interviewed Az, a big fan of Hills vs. Babyface. I'd never heard of the Act Man before, but I saw this on Twitter yesterday, and obviously Nerdrotic's on Az's side in his corner, of course. And he called him Act Ma'am. I thought it was interesting. And loads of people, although I'd only heard of the Act Man yesterday, loads of people in the comments were saying stuff like he's the Ian Miles Chong of gaming commentary, i.e. a rotten egg, essentially, just not to be trusted and just to...
I can't speak to this.
What I can speak to is
the man was wrong. He was demonstrably wrong at the time and has now discovered he is wrong. And it's that should have been obvious.
When this all came about, when the video of Az was first released, I jumped into the fray in Twitter defending him, calling out some of the people who were trying to call him out. And I actually responded to the Act Man who was trying to defend it. And I called him a coward. I said as much that you don't know what you're talking about, or you're just you're towing a line because you're a coward, is essentially what I told him. The funny thing is, Act Man and Az have both appeared on EFAP.
Okay.
And so they kind of have traveled in the same circles. But it just goes to show that they're completely opposite one another when it comes to their approach to this, where Az kind of understands what's going on in the world right now and can recognize when it's being thrown in his face, whereas the Act Man just throws out the hands in the air. Why do you even care, bro?
It seemed like the whole argument was that. Why do you care?
Yeah, I was anti-woke 5 years ago, but now I don't care because the whole thing doesn't matter. This doesn't mean I've lost. This just means I've matured in some way.
Yeah, no, it just means you're wrong.
Can I just ask one last thing? Because I honestly don't know who the Act Man is until yesterday.
He's not the main focus of this.
No, sure. But I was rude about him just then. I don't know anything about the man. But if he's been on EFAP then, so he's not that bad, or is he? I don't know. If Maulus had him on EFAP, then I imagine he can't be...
Like many, either his way. Attitude has changed over the years.
Callum doesn't want to talk about the Act Man.
The man has just, woken up. The only reason they even brought him up.
Well, that's and something.
He's not the only one, but it is kind of embarrassing that you even had to wake up something that was bloody obvious. I mean, Starfield at the time, you may remember. I mean, this blew up because it was funny as well. I mean, the game was insecure from the get-go about its woke nonsense and had to push it on you. For example, for people listening, we're looking at a pink mug that's in the game that says, "Never apologize for being a powerful fucking woman." It's just like, yeah, it's the kind of thing insecure women would have. Like, a secure woman doesn't need that. Just saying. So again, it's feminist nonsense. But that's not the only thing. The last thing going on here is that Sweet Baby Inc., well, their employees, you can just go find them. They're publicly, you know, out there, like all companies. And well, they're awful people, it turns out. Big surprise. Yeah, shock. Turns out that that diversity company is full of people who hate, in this case, white men. She just hates white men. What are the usual targets? Nothing new there. There's just a series of tweets of her complaining about them. Because white men are the number one customer base and best creators in the gaming industry, so they're awful. Unlike me, who spends my time whining. Okay. Great, thanks. You really contributed to humanity. Good luck. We're talking about the best people making video games. That's about where this ends, but I wanted an excuse to talk about tits, so I inserted it in. I said this to Harry earlier. So, the Japs, they're the only other people who can make video games. Something weird's going on there, and I just don't know where to put this in. I can't make a segment out of it on its own and not get fired, so I thought I'd show it in here. This is
Hallam slipping the tits in, as always.
Yeah. So Square Enix, for some reason, remade Final Fantasy, and they've started covering up the tits. I don't really know what to make of
that's
this.
That's not even weird. Covering them up. That's just removing.
Yeah, so they made this woman flat-chested, and then in this shot, they gave her a corset for some reason, which I just find funny.
Is this in the Japanese version as well?
I believe so, at least according to the post here. This one's the funniest, because as you can see, there's basically no cleavage. And they covered that one up as well for just some reason. Like, okay, cover up, you absolute whore. But I will be making a prediction now, which is the Western port. Because, I mean, the East has got its own problems with Sweet Baby Inc., but apparently the Eastern side is getting their own problems in this regard. So we'll check out the Western port of Final Fantasy. Presumably, it'll look like this. To, you know, appeal to people's tastes in the gaming industry. Not the people buying the games, but...
There is, though, just a very general trend towards prudishness, right? Or away from the sexualization of anything, right? Like, say, for example, grid girls in Formula One or MotoGP. Just get rid of grid girls, for example, right? Or just cover up stuff that doesn't really need to be covered up. Or, you know, you look back at the 70s or the 80s or the 90s, and there was just, like, things were a bit more explicit than they are today. And it wasn't really a problem. It wasn't, you know, it didn't poison society to have a bit of cleavage sometimes, or have grid girls or something. It didn't create a whole generation of like male rapists or whatever they claim it. You know, whether it's toxic masculinity, it's just nonsense. It's just crazy. It's some sort of collective madness. Some sort of weird prudish dream that the left want to impose on the whole of the West. It's weird.
I don't necessarily see what the left is doing in the West is.
I mean, but this is the Japs.
This is the Japs, but what we've got is the superimposed face of the Western ideal beauty standard.
Yes.
Right now.
It's very clearly a man.
Because prudishness, if it was prudishness that we were aiming for over here, then so many young girls wouldn't be being encouraged to flaunt themselves on OnlyFans as young as seemingly point. Possible. What it seems to be in terms of the media that's presented to people is just a general attack on beauty.
Right, that's fair.
At all. Right. Which is why no feminine video game character is now allowed to look like anything other than Ogre Shrek from Ogre Fiona from Shrek.
Unless you're a Japanese company, but then there's a whole weird story behind all this. So Square Enix publicly said that they were covering up the tits to try and get a better age rating. So they wanted to be rated teen rather than mature. But people looked into that and that didn't make any bloody sense because a lot of games with lots of cleavage are rated teen.
Yeah.
So it's just bollocks. So who knows? Who knows what's going on in Square Enix? But I just found it funny to include. Although I have seen the British version of the Final Fantasy game that's coming out. Here you are. There you go. Enjoy. But that's the end of that. My only point was do your part. Do go and follow Baby Ink Detected. It's good fun, if nothing else, because it takes nothing from us, costs us nothing. But my God, does it mean the world to those people? That's that.
In fact, it actually saves you money, because I don't know when you were scrolling through if you noticed the price tags on some of those games in that list. £50, £60. No.
That's the thing I don't get. Like, how can you charge that much in the modern day for AAAs that don't even fucking work?
Well, the thing is, we looked at Arkham Knight. Arkham Knight, when it first came out, had an absolute disaster of a Steam release. When it came out on PC, the game did not work. It constantly crashed, screen tearing, textures not loading. You would get to a point about 4 hours into the game and it would stop working, possibly delete your save files. Even after that, it got to the point where the developers turned around and said, okay, we need to fix this. They did fix it, and as a result, you've got 3,000 plus players playing it to this day. It doesn't matter what they do to Suicide Squad.
Yeah,
there's no fixing that. It's not just technical issues. From it, the core of it is rotten.
Let's move on to Iceland.
Yes. Let's all move to Iceland before it's too late.
Okay.
We'll move to Iceland, and then we'll erect a gigantic wall at the border because this is going to be my ode to Iceland. I love Iceland. I've only been there once, but I would love to go there again. Have either of you ever taken a trip to Iceland?
The land of ice and fire. No, I've never been there, but I would love to go there. I'd love to see some volcanoes. I'm fascinated by volcanology and volcanoes. I really want to see an active volcano. I very nearly went to Hawaii many years ago to see one of their volcanoes that's been very, very slowly erupting for like the last 20, 30 odd years or something. Fascinated by volcanoes. So I'd love to go to Iceland, but I have never been.
You should take the trip if you get the chance. And they're definitely still active because even recently over the past few weeks, I think near the Blue Lagoon, there was a volcanic eruption that was blocking, that meant that so there was some lava on the roads leading to the Blue Lagoon. So it blocked it for a while. This is just something you kind of have to put up with if you're in Iceland. And was it in 2014 they had that gigantic eruption that caused loads of delays to flights across the world because of the amount of ash that it spit into the atmosphere? Yeah. 2009. Thank you very much. I know my dad was on holiday when that happened. So he was like, well, I guess I'll have to spend another week in Germany. Oh, well, sorry, work. I can't come in. Iceland, what are you going to do? But yeah, it's a really fascinating place.
Also, Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights.
Yes.
You can go there for that at the right time of the year. What?
It's just ruined by the Simpsons meme for me.
Well, what was that?
Aurora Borealis, in this part of the country, entirely within Iceland.
Localized entirely in your kitchen. Yes.
Yeah.
Can I see it?
No.
No. Yeah, of course. So I've got up on here just think nice things to do in Iceland because this is going to serve
his kitchen.
This is going to serve as a warning because I think we need to look at what Iceland is right now, why it is the way that it is.
Why is Iceland?
Why is Iceland indeed? And then we can also examine what might happen to it in the future if particular trends that are infecting the rest of the European peoples of the world infect there as well, because you can see the Northern Lights, Aurora Borealis. Sadly, when I was there, I didn't get to see it. I was at the wrong time of year, so I missed it. But I did get to see the geysers, or geysers, however you pronounce them. They're really cool, and you can really feel... It's a really cold, barren place. But when you're up close near these, you can really feel the heat when they blast out. It's really, really interesting and fun to go visit. They've got so many beautiful landscapes. It's used in, a lot in filming for a particular reason. This is just an average valley in Iceland. It's absolutely gorgeous. You can see puffins. You can see all sorts there. And they've got the Blue Lagoon. They've got so many tourist attractions. And one of the things that I like about Iceland, and you go, as soon as you step off the plane, when you get there, if you go to Reykjavik Airport, like I arrived at, you find that they really love the fact that they're descended from Vikings.
Mm.
They are obsessed with their genealogy. They are proud of their culture. And they know their culture. They're taught their culture and history from a very young age, as far as I can tell. From what I saw there, they had little displays of Viking longboats all across the country because it's a very tourism-oriented country. You can take trips to see the old Viking longhouses, old outposts where they had, and it's really fascinating to go and see. And it's interesting, coming from where we are, to see a country that is unashamedly itself. A country that is unashamedly saying, we are Icelandic, we have a history, we have our ancestry, and we're not ashamed of that. You can even throw out the slavery thing at them, but luckily for them, they only ever really, their ancestors only enslaved Europeans.
Oh,
which,
God.
Which basically on the progressive stack,
allowed.
On the progressive stack, basically makes them the good guys, essentially. And there are other things...
I've been reading about the early Anglo-Saxon era, so in my head right now, the Vikings are the worst people on Earth.
Well, yes, but also in the modern era, that's how they would
killed
be.
And raped white people, so it's okay.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I wouldn't be here, at least in the form that I am, if they hadn't raped certain British people. So I have something to be grateful for. I certainly probably wouldn't be as tall as I am right now. Do you not have any Viking ancestry at all?
Stay away from me.
I'm not going to touch you, Callum. Don't worry.
Yeah,
my ancestors might have. I always say this, but I'm more Scottish and English than I am Viking. Far more Scottish. There are other things that you can admire Iceland for as well, which is that it is the safest country in the world. Literally, Iceland number one in the entire world. Now, this is based on the GPI rank, and they say here what some of the reasons for that might be. Because of its exceptional blend of low crime rates, high social cohesiveness. I wonder what that comes from. And this
sounds like such a dog whistle.
It does. And
Somalia, really low in social cohesion.
I wonder why. And the stable political climate, Iceland stands out as one of the safest countries in the world. And as you can see, they've ranked it number one here. And there are other ways that you can look into that, not just low crime rates in general. What is the homicide rate like? Well, in 2021, for homicide, it was 0.54 per 100,000. Now, in 2021, there was about 372,000 people. So that translates to, what, one murder?
One and a half.
One and a half, maybe.
A guy lost his legs. Another one was killed.
Yeah. In a whole year. And this is despite the fact that in Iceland, about something like 90-95% of the whole population resides in urban areas, in cities, rather than small village communities or anything. Just because of the way that the landscape is, it's very, very difficult. So most of the population outposts are on the coast, in slightly more densely built up city. Now, when I say that, Reykjavik, which is the biggest city, it's kind of like a large town in England. It's still a very small place, but if you were to say the typical thing, which is seems to work out in most places, which is the more built up and dense a population is in an urban area, the more crime they're likely to experience there. Well, even if that is the case, they wouldn't be committing any crime at all, apparently, if they were even less densely populated than they are right now.
It's like homogeneity is a strength, not diversity. Diversity is the opposite of a strength.
You certainly could suggest that, because if there's one thing that you can say about Iceland, it's very homogeneic. I can also point to other great things about Iceland, which is that for some reason, remarkably, it over-indexes on strong men in the entire world. So I looked into this. They've got the second amount of World's Strongest Men medals in the entire world, which is 21, just behind the US at 29. And this is despite the fact that the US has about 100 times the population of Iceland. So for some reason, people from Iceland, they're just really strong because they love Thor. They love...
For some reason.
They love their history. They love their culture. And it makes them want to be strong. Even the women want to be really strong there. And fair play to them. You get one of the most recent ones that everybody will know about, of course, is Thor, who has recently come out of retirement and returns a strongman. Yeah. Alexander Bromley, I think, did a video looking at him. He came out of retirement. He'd lost a load of weight. He'd cut his body fat and cut his weight by something like 20 to 30%, put it all back on, and came back and did a 1,000-pound deadlift and made it look like he was lifting feathers. The man is absolutely ridiculous. So.
Oh,
fair play to the guy.
They mentioned Magnus Ver Magnusson there. Yeah, when I was a kid, he was the absolute goat at World's Strongest Man. Kept winning it. Yeah, but I think in Northwest Europe as a whole, we're basically the biggest, strongest people.
Like it seems that way.
The tallest people in the world are the Dutch, I believe, and just Scandinavians, British, Germans,
the Germanic peoples tend to be the tallest in the world.
Yeah, the Nordic. Germanic peoples are the tallest and strongest,
and
as a rough rule of thumb.
And we do tend to seem to, once again, over-index on stuff like this, because you had Eddie Hall as well, who was he World's Strongest Man?
I believe he was
World's Strongest Man, and he's from Stoke.
Yeah.
I've actually driven past his gym once or twice and thought about stepping in, but thought it would be really intimidating to walk in there and see men bench pressing and overhead pressing me multiple times over in weight, essentially. So that was a bit too intimidating, perhaps.
It's funny when you see black supremacists or some people, I think maybe someone like Dave Chappelle or got bits on it, you know, saying that they dominate all sports. Just wait till they make a heated ice rink and they'll dominate ice hockey as well. It's like, yeah, in all sorts of ways, in athletics and all sorts of ways, black people dominate. You look at Usain Bolt and 100 meter dash and all that sort of thing. Black men do dominate. When it comes to just pure power and strength and bigness.
Yeah.
No, white guys dominate.
I mean,
honestly, if you look at the list of world's strongest men, right, specifically, the
Nordic certainly helps when Thor is 6'9". I mean, he played the mountain in Game of Thrones for a reason. The man is enormous.
An actual giant.
Right, yeah. Callum, you're short.
We have defenses against these people for a reason.
What defenses would you, bite at his ankles?
Yeah, a little sword and go,
cut him out from under the legs. There you go.
No, that's how the Romans won, right?
Oh, probably.
The Gauls were really tall. So the Romans were just all these little manlets with the little swords. Just come running around.
It is funny to think about all of the like the Roman formations. You imagine them in your mind and then you think, reduce it by about a foot.
Yeah.
And that's what it would have looked like.
The manlet empire.
A tiny little formation of shields.
Approaching
you slowly.
Like you're all these giant guys with spears. You get killed by these manlets and you're just like, what the
hell is going on? But then I can also imagine Thor right here standing among a load of Romans without any armor or weapons, just batting them away with his shit, with just his forearms, smacking them away.
He's that guy on Stamford Bridge. So the myth, for people who don't know, the English army ran up to Stamford Bridge to be, what was it, Hardrada?
It was against Hardrada, yeah.
And so the Vikings weren't really ready, so they had to go and get their kit. And there's just one massive Viking who apparently stood on Stamford Bridge, probably the size of this guy. Mm-hmm. And he just beat the crap out of the English who were trying to get past. Until someone came underneath and stabbed him in the balls. So
there's loads of accounts from Rome, like Tacitus or someone, just talking about the Germans in the Germania or in the histories or something. Say, yeah, they're giants. Yeah, to a man, they're bigger than us. Even their women are fearsome and things. And so, it was definitely the case that ancient Romans looked at the ancient Germans as sort of monstrous giants in some way.
And the sort of climate in comparison to Rome, which is quite sunny. The sort of climate, the further and further north you get, you have to be really tough to be able to live in that kind of environment. So it does kind of weed out the weaklings just by the fact that you're there in the first place. And when you mention that how homogenous they are, they're really, really homogenous to the point where they had an app that tells you if someone you're about to hook up with is actually related to you too closely. Because, of course, all of the Icelanders, they're all descended from a very small number of Vikings that emigrated over there in the 9th century. And there's been very little intermixture of populations going into the country ever since then. So let me read you.
Imagine if you did it and then found out.
Well, actually, let me read this. So you meet someone, there's chemistry, and then come the introductory questions. What's your name? Come here often. Are you my cousin? In Iceland, the country with a population of 320,000, now this was in 2018, this article was written, and sadly, the country's population has risen quite substantially in only those 6 years, and not due to birth rate, shall we say, where most everyone is distantly related, inadvertently kissing cousins is a real risk. A new smartphone app is on hand to help Icelanders avoid accidental incest. The app lets users bump phones and emits a warning alarm if they're closely related. Bump the app before you bump in bed, says the catchy slogan. Now, it turns out the reason that they made this app was not for this purpose. They were, because they're so obsessed with their history and ancestry, it was an app meant to chart out your genealogy so that you could know the names and professions of
all
your ancestors.
Happened to realize.
But yeah, as a byproduct of that, they decided this could actually be really useful, guys. So here's a small anecdote that this guy gives. Everyone has heard the story of going to a family event and running into a girl you hooked up with some time ago, says Einar Magnusson, a graphic designer from Reykjavik. It's not a good feeling when you realize that girl is a second cousin. People may think it's funny, but the app is a necessity. That's just how, parochial that place is. It's the latest twist in a long-standing passion for genealogy in Iceland, a volcanically island, blah, blah, blah. Their descendants built a small, relatively homogenous, and crucially well-organized country, home to the world's oldest parliament. And I think they still call it the same thing that they did then. It's called the Althingi, because, of course, the old Viking parliaments, they were called things like the Thingmoot. They had a real way with words. So now it's just the Althingi, which is great. And they really, really cared about their record keeping. Stefansson, who was one of the creators of the app, said that the bump feature is attention-grabbing, but relatively minor part of the app. So he's like, guys, seriously, we made it so that you can like understand your ancestry and your history, but yeah, this also helps. This also is a part of it.
Does sound like it's worth the few seconds it would take to check. Does seem like that was probably...
Personally, I've never been in the situation that this Einar Magnusson bloke
Me neither.
Explains right then. But I can imagine if you're in a population where that is a risk, yeah, you want to know this. But that just goes to show how homogenous the place is where you're likely to accidentally hook up with someone you're related to.
It's always a problem. There's some islands in the Pacific that were peopled, very, very sparsely peopled in like the 18th and 19th century, like, you know, sort of 16 families living on this tiny little dot of an island in the Pacific somewhere. And it's like, yeah, they're now all inbred. It's the descendants of those same families. And yeah, they all keep interbreeding. It's a problem if you're on a small island with a small number of people. Obviously, like 16 families is not the same thing as Iceland, but 320,000, or even if it's 400,000 now, that's still actually, in the scheme of things, tiny.
Yeah, half the
that's
number.
That's tiny.
To get even more than half to try and find the population generation before, right? Keep doing that. You actually don't have enough people to go back throughout its whole history.
Right.
It's a funny thing about humans. You will find a lot of inbreeding.
Yeah, and...
It tends to happen. I think there are some people in the British Isles who are something like 100% English, and when people are notified of that, they're basically told, your family were coming into their own, shall we say. Very close.
Because I've known a few people that have been to Iceland, somebody my family's been, and someone I used to work with went. He went actually just to see the Aurora Borealis, and he went at the right time in the lunar cycle, and he went the right time of year, and he went to the places where you're most likely to see it, and never saw it. It just didn't. It just didn't happen for him.
Well, what I've been told is that it helps if you have really high exposure cameras over a long time period, because apparently when you actually see them in person, they're much dimmer.
Than if you do a Google image, right? Yeah. I was told that Reykjavik. You've been there.
Yeah,
I was told exactly what you just said. That it's like the equivalent of a town in England, not even a massive town. Something like Swindon, even, not much bigger than Swindon.
You could imagine that most people probably know each other, or that you've probably run into everybody in that town.
Well, that was the other thing I was going to say, is that I don't know if what it's like living in a village where literally everyone knows everyone. And everyone's all up in each other's business and constantly gossiping. And you actually know everyone. You actually know everyone. That Iceland is almost that. Obviously not quite, but
probably almost that. My impression of it was that everybody... Probably as a result of that, and the fact that you're likely to be related to the people that you run into in the street, are all really friendly. Yeah. And they're all
like a family, an extended
really,
family group.
Really peaceful, and they all get along with one another. It's a very peaceful country from my experience of it. And one of the other things to point out is that when you look at the genetics of it, they're actually quite closely tied to us. Obviously, it says here that, and this won't surprise you, Callum, when I read this out. So studies of Y chromosomes and mitochondrial DNA indicate that 75% of Icelanders' patrilineal ancestry derives from Scandinavia, so that would be the Vikings, with most of the rest being the Irish and the British Isles, while 62% of their matrilineal ancestry derives from Scotland and Ireland, with the rest from Scandinavia. So I wonder what those men were doing bringing those women over to Iceland, but that's neither here nor there, because in the long run, it's over 1,000 years since that would have been going on. Yeah. And I like to think that in Europe, at least this little part of Europe, that we can maybe smooth over some of the harsh edges. I like to think, at least.
Yeah, of course you would.
Well, yes. but they're basically, they're close cousins, genetically speaking, as far as I'm concerned. We're related to these people. They're very close to us, and a lot of them, well, basically all of them speak English as well. So when I went over there, everyone was very friendly to me. Everybody already spoke English. I know that might sound like the lazy little Englander of me to go over and expect a foreign country to speak English, but it was very inviting, and they were all really enthusiastic, basically to just have a new person to tell you about their ancestry and their culture and their history.
Well, Iceland obviously looks towards Europe rather than North America. I mean, going back to, I think you mentioned an old piece of content I did, an old epochs I did about Piraeus the Greek. They think maybe even he, in classical times, hundreds of years before Christ, circumnavigated Britain. And he talks about Thule, what he calls an island called Thule, and they're not sure whether that is the Orkneys or Iceland. It might have been an ancient Greek person even went to
It would
Iceland.
Have been a very...
Possible.
It's very out of the way to get to Iceland.
It
would have been completely uninhabited at that point.
It talks about frozen seas, pack ice, frozen seas. So he was up there somewhere.
Well, they've got glaciers up there.
And we're not sure if he was talking about the Orkneys or possibly Iceland. Anyway, the point is, they look towards the Nordic, Germanic, British world, the European world. They, you know, they weren't populated by native North American peoples, First Nation Indian peoples, are they?
No.
That's not their stock.
Apparently there is something, if you trace a particular haplogroup, that some of it suggests that there might have been some Native American in there. But that's, people suggest that primarily because some of the Vikings ended up getting to North America very, very early on before before Christopher Columbus got there. Definitely. So they think that might have had something to do with that, but it's all theorizing. But there are problems coming to Scandinavia. If you look at the demographics of it, and I scroll down to immigration, you begin to see a trend forming that's very similar to the sorts of trends that we're experiencing over here as well. So you can see, if you look up here, background groups of Icelanders, the percentage of native-born Icelanders occupying the country is slowly, slowly getting less and less. And the total of foreign-born is slowly rising to the point where in about 25 years, it went from a total foreign-born population of 7,755 to 68,000. And that was by 2021. And the numbers will have increased since then. Now, it's not as bad as it could be because the country of origin for a lot of those people are either of Scandinavian or Slavic origin, because you can see a lot of them are from Poland. Because for some reason, Poland always tops these lists. Why are you going to Iceland, Polish people?
Space is up there.
Yeah, I suppose so. But then you start to see, like, why have 1,000 Vietnamese people gone there?
And well, the Philippines was really high up on that list. That's interesting.
Yeah, why is there so many? Why is there almost 2,500?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder...
And also, why are there almost 500 Syrians there? And you once again, these in themselves are not enormous numbers, but you've got to look at it from the context of a place like Iceland, where in total there are about 300,000 Icelanders living in Iceland. So any small injection of people is going to change that makeup.
In 20 years, roughly, there are 40,000 more Icelanders, but in Iceland, there are 60,000 more foreigners. So the number of stock of Icelanders has increased 40,000, stock of foreigners 60,000.
And that will change things. Even if they are from other European cultures that are more able to easily integrate, that will still change things, especially if you're coming from Eastern Europe. That's still a very different culture than what you're going to experience in cold, frozen, peaceful Iceland.
And pretty the same.
Yeah. And then there's other problems as well, which is the refugee problem, which we're all experiencing here. I was shocked when I saw this.
Or in Greenland is going terribly.
Yeah. Because it's already bad enough that the number of refugees in Iceland was getting up to almost 2,000 in 2021. But then you can see it more than doubles.
For no reason.
For
literally why?
No reason whatsoever from 2021 to 2022, where it goes from 1,830 to 5,240. And that's 2 years ago now. So I don't know exactly what the figures are today. And the other thing where you look at the number of applications they're getting, of course, same trend that we're seeing all the way across Europe. It shoots up.
War of 2015. It's been rough.
Now, the new applications, most of these are still coming from Ukraine. But as you can see, Palestine, Somalia.
No, there's a bit more going on there. 2,300 Ukrainians applied, but zero exceptions.
They just ignored those ones.
Okay.
But they did need 19 Somalians to come in for some reason. There's a funny thing I noticed as I scrolled down here. I noticed on Pakistan, none applied, none were accepted, but still five were rejected somehow. So I don't know exactly how accurate some of these figures are. But I like,
understandable.
I like to think that Iceland just said, before any of you even try, don't.
They rejected the cabinet or something.
Yeah. They just found five random Pakistani people and said, no, thank you.
All right.
No, thank you. But of course, a lot of refugees will be coming from Middle Eastern, North African, Sub-Saharan Africa.
But again, that time period. Why is it not the same as 2010? What's actually changed? Nothing around Iceland has changed.
I do think it's funny, though, when, you know, sometimes you get quote-unquote refugees from the Middle East or from all over the world, and they come to, say, Britain or Ireland or France or Germany, and they complain how it's bitterly cold and it's a culture shock for them and stuff. Well, imagine...
Can you imagine
Iceland,
going...
Yeah.
A Syrian in Iceland, a Somali in Iceland.
Yeah, a Somalian or an actual Syrian going to Iceland and find themselves located in sort of a rural village, not even Reykjavik, some sort of rural fishing village in Iceland where there's a population of like 200 people. And like, why would you... How... They're not going to...
Allah has abandoned these people.
Yeah, but you can... They're not going to enjoy themselves, are they? Not going to...
But you can see immediately the tensions that would create because that person is not going to integrate. When in all likelihood, once again, because Iceland is one of the only countries that's European that is still so proud of its own heritage, the people there can probably trace their lineage back hundreds and hundreds of years by name in some cases. They're going to go, well, you're not from round here. He's going to go, I'm not from round here and I don't like it here. And they think differently, they behave differently. It's going to cause problems.
Hello, Mr. Muslim. Would you like to believe in my pagan god?
Yeah.
What do you think of Thor?
Yeah, we can teach you about Odin, if you like.
Yeah, they're not gonna be interested. They're just gonna go there and be like Gibbs. And people have known in Iceland that that might be a problem. And so there are bills being put forward in their parliament to be able to try to mitigate some of the issues that asylum seekers will be bringing with them. So this was a draft bill that's been proposed. This is an article from January saying Iceland's justice minister. This new bill that she put forward would permit authorities to hold asylum seekers in detention centres, including families and children. Setting up such detention centres would cost a certain amount of money. Humanitarian organisations, everybody's favourite, the ones that nobody actually wants, who decide to stick their nose into everything and say, have you considered the human rights of, say, MS-13 in El Salvador?
I have a right to Iceland.
Yeah, have you considered the right of strangers to come into your home and steal the food off of your plate? Maybe. Humanitarian organizations have harshly criticized the establishment of such centers in Iceland. According to the summary on the consultation portal, the bill proposes permitting authorities to keep foreign citizens who have to or may have to leave the country in a closed residence when they have received a deportation order or when a case that may lead to such a decision is being processed by the government. Basically saying, if we're going to kick you out of the country, we don't want to leave you to have free rein to escape our radar. Mm-hmm. That's sensible. Clearly a very sensible thing to do. If your country doesn't do something like that, and say, for instance, like in the UK, just lets people wander.
The United States.
Or the United States. Just lets people wander, and they say, you need to leave the country, but we're not going to do anything about it, so if you just want to walk around for a bit and go wherever you want, that's fine. Who cares? That's obviously a stupid thing to do. This is a very sensible thing to do when more and more refugees are going to be applying to come into the country and causing more trouble when they do so. Because guess what? Even if you get your refugee application approved, that's not going to be the end of it. You still have to stick to the laws. You still have to stick to the rules. You don't get a free rein, a free pass to do whatever. And if you do break the laws or cause trouble, I think it's the country's right to be able to say, get out. This is sensible thinking. As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, of course. But even that, even holding that position, you would be shouted down as a bigot, a small-minded...
Meaningless words these days, though,
yeah,
aren't
I know,
they?
I know.
Absolutely
like,
meaningless.
Have you not read A Tiger Comes to Tea?
I don't think I have, actually.
You have to allow a tiger, a beast, into your home and eat from your plate. And if you don't, if you do anything less than that, then you're on the wrong side of history. You're wrong-headed. There's something evil about you.
Well, I've seen what makes these people cheer. So if they call me evil, then so be it. I respectfully disagree. And what happens when politicians in a sovereign nation decide that they want to better police themselves and better police the people who are coming into their country off of the back of their own charity? Well, of course, those same people show their gratitude by breaking into parliament and staging a protest and causing trouble. Here's footage of... does this man look Polish to you, Callum? Do these gentlemen in the background, do they look like they're from Lithuania, Poland, anywhere you've been in the east of Europe?
They look like the Ukrainian refugees arriving in Ireland.
Maybe.
Dang.
Maybe.
Who are totally Ukrainian.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. And I'm sure they're all coming to bring their own wealth of culture, their own
Mesopotamian
skills. And oh, of course. Of course. A descendant.
You know, see the footage. There's some guys who turned up in Ireland. So this guy went down to film and was like, so what are you doing here? He's like, oh, we're refugees. Where are you from? Ukraine. Really?
They look all Iraqi or something.
They're all Indian.
Oh, right. Okay, right, okay.
You know, Bo, you said Mesopotamia. I'm thinking Macedonian. These might be direct descendants of Alexander.
I don't know, from this distance, he looks Assyrian.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Maybe. Well,
what's actually going on there? Have we got audio? What is happening?
It's just going to be...
just general purpose.
General yelling.
Screaming.
Right. So what these guys did, and I can read in the article that I got from the Iceland Monitor. So these guys are asylum seekers, and they decided to break into the parliament while they were having a discussion on this. And basically cause a scene, shout about how they need social housing, let more people in.
Give me a house.
Oh, my God.
And cause trouble and threaten to throw himself onto the floor of the parliament from the balcony, at which point some of the politicians and security there just grabbed them and said, get out.
Yeah.
Get out. Birger Amundsen, the president of the Icelandic parliament, had to postpone a parliamentary meeting due to shouting on parliamentary platforms and a man apparently threatening to jump down at the same time as the Minister of Justice, Guron Hafsteindottir, introduced a new bill on asylum seekers. So it was a protest against that bill on asylum seekers. No, you can't hold us to consequences if we break the laws and get deported. No, you need to give us more free things and let more of us in because we're such a benefit to your country. So I think I've done a decent enough job outlining that Iceland is a beautiful, peaceful land full of very friendly, kind, peaceful, charitable people. But that is a very, very fine equilibrium. It is a balancing act, and I think we know why that is. It is because the country is majority made up of Icelandic people. And if you start to tip that balance, things are all going to come crashing down. So Iceland, if anybody in any sort of power in Iceland is watching this for whatever reason, please take the warning. You have seen what is happening to the rest of Europe. If you let these people in, they are not grateful. They do not assimilate. They are not happy to be there. They will resent you. They will cause more trouble. Don't do it.
Yeah, that's sickening for me to see. I mean, speaks volumes though, doesn't it? Imagine Iceland is a tall glass of perfectly pure ice water.
Mm-hmm.
And you took a pipette of liquid shit and you dropped one droplet
this
in that glass.
This is going to come on YouTube.
Yeah. Ruined the whole
Yeah, we're just turning off and being like, give me a free house. I mean, do a flip. I don't.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to the last segment.
All right.
It's you, Bo.
Okay. John, can you scroll down for me on the thing here? Okay. So I just wanted to check in on Trump, on the Trump train, because there's been a new development a couple of days ago. It was a couple of days ago now, Super Tuesday. One more Super Tuesday has been and gone. You know, only comes around once every 4 years. But it both Biden and Trump dominated Super Tuesday. And if anyone who doesn't know, it's just one particular Tuesday where a lot of states do their voting for the candidates. And at least in the Republican side of things, the convention isn't until July, isn't until the summer. But nonetheless, he's sort of, so he hasn't formally got the candidacy, but, you know, it's 99.99% locked in. He's got it. Nikki Haley has pulled out, stopped her campaign. So.
Yeah, it would be foolish if they didn't really go for him as the candidate.
Oh, no, he's got it. There's not really any path where he wouldn't get it now. Because on Tuesday, there was, I think, 14 or 15 states decide. And that gives you enough delegates to sort of get through.
I saw quite a few so-called moderates going like, no, with Nikki Haley gone, the GOP is dead. The moderates branch of the GOP is gone forever. Why can't you all just be leftist neocons like we want you to be, is the main complaint they're throwing out.
Yeah, yeah. But so it looks like, well, if you scroll down there, actually, Canon for us, you can see Trump, well, she won Vermont, which is, Vermont's a relatively small state, to be quite honest. But look, you can see the numbers there. Virginia, Arkansas, North Carolina, he sort of, he didn't just win, he trounced it, right? Sort of dominated it, sort of absolutely dominated it.
It is interesting to see how many people still vote for Nikki Haley after the fact that she's been exposed as just a pure corrupt individual who may very well be working for the Democrats.
One thing I'll say on that is that it's sort of, you only had him or her to choose from. I mean, you could still do a protest vote.
None of the above.
You could do a none of the above thing.
My understanding is that Joe Biden, he is actually running against none of the above, and none of the above is in second place.
Right, exactly.
There are other candidates, but they just are doing worse than none of the above.
Yeah. So if you were, say you're a Republican and you didn't want to spoil your ballot or just stay away, but you didn't want Trump, then the only person you could really vote for is Nikki Haley. So it's sort of, even though you could make the argument, you know, she won 30, 40% of the votes here and there, it doesn't mean that's a true reflection of her popularity. You could make the same argument with Trump, but nonetheless, you see that he dominated it. Absolutely.
Just trying to see if I could find that Democratic version to show you. So I can't remember which state it is, but one of them is just, I think like 10% in the primary voted for nobody rather than Biden. That's it's a significant thing of unpopularity even with his own party.
Yeah. So like when you're the incumbent president, you don't get a free pass as such, but you know, quite often your party won't stand against you. So Biden, I think there was one place, one state where an independent beat him. You know, sometimes you get anomalies like that. I think there was one state where you either beat Biden or you came close to beating him. But Biden did a similar thing to Trump here, which you would expect for an incumbent president, to kind of sweep Super Tuesday and to just, you know, kind of glide in to being your party's candidate for the next one.
So it is confirmed now. We're just going to have a rerun of the last time.
That's basically what this segment is about. That, yeah, we're kind of now locked into it is going to be Trump v. Biden in November 24.
I still can't believe they've gone with Biden.
I know.
So what do you make? There's some conspiracy theories, which I'm not saying that to diminish them. It's just the idea is there's a conspiracy in the DNC to make sure Biden wins the nomination. So to lock out people like JFK Jr. And then you just have them removed.
Airdrop in a Rishi Sunak type, like happened in the Conservatives.
Some people have suggested Gavin Newsom or Kamala.
Right.
Just to, you know, get rid of the utter stench that is him.
Well, that's not a ridiculous strategy for them, is it? Mm. It's far from ridiculous.
Why would they not already go for someone like Newsom as the candidate if they were going to do that? Do they think that his electoral prospects aren't quite as good? As far as I can tell, he's very popular.
The theory, as I understand it, is that obviously if you run the incumbent, he'll just win.
So oh, yeah.
You do that, keep it nice and stable, and then you just coup him. I don't know if it's true.
Oh, no, he had a stroke and died.
Yeah.
Or really call into question his cognitive abilities.
So well, he himself.
We have to replace him.
He himself would presumably come out and be like, I'm too old.
Right.
It turns out. Yeah.
By the
That's
way.
That's not crazy. That could totally happen.
Joe Biden comes out, I just wet myself. Here's Gavin Newsom. Yeah. Goodbye. Yeah.
Sincerely, that may happen.
Joe Biden slips, shits himself on stage. Gavin Newsom comes out. Gavin Newsom comes out with a big comedy brush, sweeps him off stage.
I do want to say there was one funny thing in the Trump versus Haley category as well. As you can't see on here, obviously, but she won DC.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I saw a lot of Trump supporters posting that, being like, oh, thank God we lost DC. That would have been embarrassing.
Yeah, we don't even want it. Yeah.
That's embarrassing if you win that.
Because, of course, DC is tiny, isn't it?
DC is a city. It's an independence.
But it's the swamp. You don't want the swamp's endorsement.
Also, another reason why I think maybe the Democrats are going with Biden, or at least on paper for now, is that it is massively embarrassing. I mean, it's embarrassing to have Biden as your candidate, full stop. But it's also really embarrassing to sort of switch horses mid race, if you know. Mm. It was like, especially if there isn't anything truly.
I suppose for the Democrats, it would look really bad if Biden was still in office, and then they went, actually,
he's too retarded to be in office, but he must stay there.
because then it really does say, underlines, that we were wrong to pick him in the first place.
Mm.
If you say, we don't want you to run in 2024, or we're not going to let you run in 2024.
A remarkable admission.
It does admit that he was the wrong guy in 2020.
You know, now that we've said it out loud,
Getting the most votes of any president.
Most popular president of all time.
But now we've said it out loud, I kind of want to put a 75% chance on him saying, oh, I've had health problems. Bye. Like that, he legitimately could do that, and they'd want him to.
Mm. Two advisors come out with holding him. He's got his arms on their shoulders, and you see someone moving his jaw up and down. I'm Joe Biden. I quit. And then they leave. They scurry him off quickly. Full Weekend of Bernie style.
And there's just a stick comes out from the side of the. Yeah, it just pulls really slowly, hooks around his neck and pulls him slowly off stage. Stage left, exit stage left. So, it will be Joe versus Trump, assuming neither of them dies between now and November for whatever reason.
And Trump is pretty old himself now, to be
fair.
Yeah,
he's no spring chicken. He obviously still has all his faculties. He's still funny. He seems to be in fairly rude health, despite being, you know, a bit heavy, overweight, which he himself admits. But he's obviously in sort of fairly okay, or if not fine.
And he doesn't drink.
Mental
he's a
condition.
Massive germaphobe. So I imagine he keeps himself as healthy as possible, despite the McDonald's.
You know, when people are dying, they sort of look like they're sort of gaunt or sort of got a grey look about. Well, everything Biden's got. The man looks as though he's dying. Trump doesn't seem to have any of that, right? He's still got a spring in his step. He's still as quick as ever with verbal stuff, right? But yeah, you're right to say he's no spring chicken. But yeah, Biden is the oldest president ever, which is a sort of a remarkable stat, isn't it? You could go to the second.
I wouldn't be shocked if he does get in. He could be, what would it be, the third or fourth time a president has died in office. If Biden gets in again, I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah. What was there? Polk died. One of the little known presidents, James Polk, he died in office just of natural causes. Well, I think we mentioned him in the office the other day. Didn't he just, he got pneumonia and died within months of becoming president.
It was worse than that. So a friend of mine told me the story, he's American, so if he's got something wrong, blame him. He won the election and then decided that he would give a speech outside in his inauguration, and it was raining, and he was like, I ain't no pussy, I'll go in the rain. And then he's an old man in the rain for a long time.
Oh.
So he just got pneumonia and died.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's bad.
I shouldn't be laughing, but that's
that could happen to Biden as well. That's the even funnier part.
Joe Biden goes out in the rain, slips on banana peel.
Literally dies.
And of course, there's been quite a few presidents that have been murdered while in office. You know, Lincoln, JFK, Garfield, McKinley. It happens. Out of less than 50 presidents, have four of them being murdered in office. FDR died in office, didn't he, of natural causes. So in November, we will look forward to a rerun. Now, the thing about that is that quite often in politics, if you ran for something and lost, it used to be the case. It's not the case so much in our day and age anymore, but it always used to be the case. If you ran for anything ever and lost, you were then just branded as a loser from then on. And you were just sort of toxic as a political candidate because you had a shot, you failed. Now, that's still the case nowadays, but just not
have
anywhere
you met
near
Hillary
as much.
Clinton?
Well, yeah. It's not anywhere. I mean, it wasn't always the case. I mean, Grover Cleveland was the only other guy ever to become president, lose, and then come back, on a non-consecutive president twice. The only other guy ever to have done that. So it looks like Trump, you know, maybe the second person ever to sort of achieve that. And I'm pretty sure you can't, because there is a law that you can't be president more than twice. They passed that after FDR.
Yeah.
And I believe that is, it would be the case that even if, say, Trump did win in November this year, I don't think he would be allowed to run again. He's had his two shots. The fact that they're non-consecutive doesn't matter. I might be wrong about that. If anyone out there,
correct.
Is that correct? Okay, great. Oh, well, it's not great, but.
Because the funny point is, what is it? Jimmy Carter? Like, he could run again.
Right.
99 years old, but
imagine Biden does drop dead.
We're replacing him with Jimmy Carter. Carter.
Or they run Biden in 2028. He loses to Trump this year, and they run him in 28. Yeah, whatever happens, even if Trump wins in November this year, you'll only have 4 more years of Trump. That's all it could ever be. So it's not that crazy to start looking at 2028. You know, will it be Newsom versus Haley in 2028? Who are the next crop? Because it won't be Biden.
I think it's Trump vomited a little bit.
It's Trump and Biden this year, but it will not be Trump and Biden again. Right. So obviously what happens this year and the next 4 years is sort of the main thing in our focus, but it's not that crazy to start looking ahead to what will the next tranche of politicians be. You know, how much can Trump reverse things and save America and save the West in 4 years? I mean, with the best win in the world, who knows? But, you know, nothing stops. Nothing ever stops. History is relentless in that way, you know. History is the one that knocks. You're not getting away from it. It will not end, despite what Francis Fukuyama says. It will, the relentless march of history. So if, can we have a look at... there's the where Nikki drops out that link or that one. Yeah, so she did finally give up. You know, it became clear that she's just not going to get the delegates required to be any kind of rival to Trump. It's just not going to happen. So she eventually finally capitulated. And if we maybe play a little bit of what she's saying.
But the time has now come to suspend my campaign.
Yeah, bye bye.
I said I wanted Americans to have their voices heard. I have done that. I have no regrets. In all likelihood, Donald Trump will be the Republican nominee when our party convention meets in July.
Robot mode.
I congratulate him and wish
him
well.
I congratulate him.
I wish anyone well who would be America's president. Our country is too precious to let our differences divide us.
Okay.
I have always been a conservative Republican and always supported the Republican nominee.
You're right.
But on this question, as she did on so many others, Margaret Thatcher provided some good advice when she said, quote, never just follow the crowd. Always make up your own mind. It is now up to Donald Trump to earn
this?
The votes of those in our party and beyond.
We get it.
Playing it more because I just wanted to test your whole robot voice.
She sounds like text-to-speech.
Yeah. The hell?
Yeah.
I seem to remember her not being that bad, but in terms of sounding like a robot, but there we are.
I mean, charisma vacuum, right?
Yeah. So for now, she can get in the bin of history. For now, she's done. She's over. But I doubt it's the last you'll ever hear of Nikki Haley. Like I say, looking at 2028 or beyond. I mean, if you go this far in politics, it means that you're sort of a named person, you know, you're sort of a named entity.
You have
she's a household name now, for better or worse. Well,
you also have someone backing you and someone funding you. And if they've already invested a load of money into you, this is likely being the forerunner to a much bigger campaign.
Yeah.
There's the potential of that in the future.
If you contest any leadership race, even if you do quite badly, you're then in the running for any sort of future thing, or potentially, possibly. You know. So, you know, I doubt we've seen the end of her. And in 2028, whatever happens, the Republicans, there's going to be a bum fight. There's going to be some sort of mass brawl, some sort of maelstrom of like 30 candidates, each with some sort of realistic chance in 2028 to be the Republican candidate, right? Trump, you know, designates an heir apparent or something, which might happen. Who knows what's going to happen?
It's going to end up Haley versus Ramaswamy, isn't it? Just like Silicon Valley, the Indians are taking over.
Mm. And then you're stuck in that thing where, you know, both the candidates are not good. You know, imagine you're a Republican.
Some would support Ramaswamy.
Yeah.
Certainly over Haley.
Sure, right, yeah.
Not that I'm a huge fan of his or anything, but certainly he seemed to be saying a lot of the right things that was getting some of the voter base excited under the GOP.
And it looks like Ramaswamy is in Trump's, perhaps he's not in an inner entourage, or he's in an inner circle of power, but he's certainly in the orbit of Trump, and Trump's obviously greenlit that, is okay with that. He had him speak and things. And so Ramaswamy is sort of in the Trump ascendancy on some level, whatever that is, whatever that means. So we'll see. And then there's a clip there of Trump. His sort of acceptance speech.
You want to play this?
Was it that one? Yeah. Let's skip forward a
Wait, oh no.
For God's sakes, the music. Sorry, I just have to laugh at that.
This is a big one. And they tell me, the pundits and otherwise, that there's never been one like this. There's never been anything so conclusive. This was an amazing night, an amazing day. It's been an incredible period of time. November 5th is going to go down as the single most important day in the history of our country. Because somebody on his staff thinks he looks very good in a bathing suit. Until he can't get his feet out of the sand or lift the chair, which weighs about 9 ounces. Joe Biden, if he would have just left everything alone, he could have gone to the beach. He would have had a tremendous success at the border and elsewhere. But they come into our country, we're going to stop them. We're going to close our borders. We're going to have to deport a lot of people, a lot of bad people, because our countries can't live like this. Our cities are choking to death. Our states are dying. And frankly, our country is dying. And we're going to make America great again, greater than ever before. Thank you very much. It's been a big night. Thank you very much. Thank you.
But yeah,
I mean, how could you vote for Haley over that? On pure presence alone.
It's actually funny. It's funny.
He's great. You'd probably get a better stand-up going to a Trump rally than you would going to a comedy club these days.
And the fact he said, you know, not just sort of a net zero migration, but we're going to deport people. Well, a lot of people, I mean.
At least 6 million. Six million have illegally...
Is that the figure he's actually given?
Well, 6 million have illegally broken in under Biden at the southern border alone, never mind being flown in. So, yeah, all 6 million of them have got to go.
You must be careful of that. That can be cropped. You've got to be careful with that number.
Oh, for God's
sakes. It's a loaded number.
Fine, 6.31 million. Okay.
I was wondering exactly what you meant.
It just happens to be the same number. It'll be 8 million by the end of Biden's term.
We've just got a clip of Callum saying 6 million, they've all got to go. I mean, well, now me saying it.
You fools.
I fell for the old.
Don't worry, I'm talking about Mexicans.
Yeah, Trump with strong words. And, obviously, we'll see what happens between now and November. But I shall keep covering it, keep doing segments whenever there's something significant to report on ye old Trump train. And so, yeah, we'll see what happens. But I suppose I'll bring my segment to an end there.
Let's go to the video comments. We're looking at a man welding. Mm.
Repeal the 19th.
Well, just be careful with your hair like that. You get it.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, you could burn yourself.
Message from the Repeal the 19th pack. All men. Go into the next one.
Constructing a killdozer there.
No, he just fixes up. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Go to the next one.
He's not going to...
Well, it's about minus 20.
Good.
And I don't know how well you can see it.
It is snow.
But it's pretty much whiteout conditions. All over the place.
Where is he?
Wish you were here.
Where's here?
Yeah, we were missing a little bit there. We don't know where the hell you are, but yeah.
It looks very pretty.
I do like
quite like the snow because it just makes me think of how peaceful it is. When you get a nice winter... in the morning when it's a fresh layer of snow and you step out, there's something uniquely quiet about it.
Yeah, I love snowscapes. Yeah, for sure.
The next one.
What the Americans call vaudeville, the British call music hall.
Yes, I got your vacation place now. You should have been a music hall comic.
There was a particular pattern to the comedic exchanges between characters and even the audience that became familiar. It would form the basis of good-natured ribbing between people of the same and different ranks or social statuses.
Think I don't know? Good night, sir. No. But I've got a pack to put on your back if I catch you smoking.
Alrighty.
Yeah. There is something to be said for the British ability to take a good ribbing. Mm. Not like that, you dirty-minded bastard.
Alrighty then.
It was rib with a B, Callum. Ribbing.
Do it up different north, do you? Right, so on the comments, Percy says, a wife is in labour at the moment. If it's a boy, I will name him Callum. Oh, there we are. That'll be nice.
We don't need more Callums.
We need a lot more of them.
No, we don't.
Geordie Swordsman says, damn it, Callum, I was watching full screen. Warn me before dropping a picture of the great Satan Sarkeesian like that. I will do my best. Henry Aslin?
What? His name's been that for ages, Callum. I think that might be his actual name.
Oh. Well,
What's the pun other than it says ass?
That's enough to set me off. So,
feeling childish today, are we?
There we are. Henry says, Callum, do you guys ever use the Athens Discord server for Helldivers? I wouldn't mind spreading managed democracy with the Lotus Eaters. We don't. That's Carl's. He owns that. That's from the Sargon days. So that's his business, I'm afraid.
I've been in Athens once or twice, but I don't play Dick Divers or whatever game they play.
Dick Divers?
Well, that's not what it's, is yeah. that not what it's called? Is that not its name?
No, it's Muff Divers.
Oh.
Yeah. Come play Muff Divers.
No, the game does look good, to be fair. It does look good.
I wonder if there's a mod called... Okay.
No, okay.
It's me backing down.
Are you going to develop one?
Maybe. Reskin the bugs.
Oh.
What, you want to reskin the robots?
I don't want to reskin anything, you dirty bastard.
I'm just saying. Robot white... Oh, God, that's actually a funny mod. So, yeah, sincerely... Okay, but we probably don't have that committed a modding community. In the video comments, but
if we do,
yeah, robot waifu guy who's making his own robot waifu, instead learn to code and remake the robots in Helldivers into anime waifus.
As waifus,
and we can gun
so you
them
can
down.
Gun them down.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
What are waifus? What is that?
Don't worry, Dad.
Okay.
All right.
I won't.
I knew it.
Roman Observers gives us a comment. Mafia, if you don't pay us, we'll trash your shop. If you do, we'll make sure somebody buys your product. DEI, if you don't pay us, we'll make sure no one buys the product. And if you pay us, we'll make sure nobody buys the product. Mm. It's a pretty bad system, to be honest. Mm. So, Eloyes tells me that, Callum, on the parts about Tifa getting covered up from Final Fantasy by a patch, only the cowgirl picture is real. The others are parodies made by gamers after they noticed the censorship. Ah, there we are. Good news. I like being corrected when things
good
are
good
like
news.
That.
Tits still allowed, boys.
Well, except the cowgirl costume, which is actually the funniest. Because that was the littlest amount of tit showed. And then it was still like, cover that up.
To be fair, to Steel Man it, it could be a decision that they just wanted to change a bit of the design of the outfit without necessarily wanting to cover it up. It might just be that they thought...
Everything was the same. And then on the day one patch, they were like, cover up those tits.
Yeah. Well, apparently she still allowed tits in every other outfit. So it might have just been that some guy went, oh, she looks better like this.
Interesting historical note. There's different times in history, sort of nudity or like risqueness has peaks and troughs. So, for example, in the early Renaissance, it was normal to have a heroic nude, like the David, just completely nude, tackle out the full Monty. Skip forward 150
years. Back in the good old days.
Skip forward 150 years, and you weren't allowed to do that. You sort of had to paint over. They would paint a loincloth on things that Michelangelo...
Or a leaf.
Or a leaf, right, yeah. They would sculpt a leaf.
Wasn't the thing to do in the First and Second World War, was it?
Right, yeah, right. Not, so the Victorians were much more prudish than...
Maybe on the front lines that your family fought on.
Well, in Afghanistan, it's bloody hot, so...
Tackle out, boys!
So, there were probably some soldiers who did that. Just saying.
Went screaming, windmilling straight
at
the enemy.
Taliban bastard.
We're just going through a period now where it's on the down... curve of sort of nakedness. What was that? There was a thing, do you remember a story a year or two ago on the London Underground where it was a, was it Bikini Body Ready? And there was just some woman in a yellow bikini and Sadiq Khan and
Sharia doesn't,
he said, you can't have that, it's too much flesh.
Well, Sadiq Khan's idea was probably, oh, your BMI is nowhere near high enough to get away with that. Not these days.
Yeah, you've accidentally forgotten to put your niqab on, my dear.
I'm thinking it's just like you're not fat enough. You're making more other women feel insecure.
That, yeah.
Sincerely, that was one of the main complaints.
Yeah.
It was an unrealistic beauty standard and it was a doctored photo. And then the woman in the photo came out and said, no, that's me. And yeah, she's just a health freak.
Heaven forbid you should be allowed to see a healthy person.
Yeah. Oof. So Mr. Peters says, Sweet Baby Ink Detected has recently deleted all their posts since Steam is threatening to delete the group. All the more reason to follow. If no other reason than just to make a statement. The good news, well, no bad news, but good to tell me the news. Harry's dirty coffee cup, washed in the diseased brown stuff off, says, that's his username.
The problem, I just need a new mug. I'm too attached to this
really?
Mug.
Really? What gave it away?
It cracked and I put tape on it because Rory suggested it and I've just not been, I don't want to get rid of it.
Does need a scrub.
Don't. No.
I want to have a look.
No.
Good, come on.
No.
Carry on. Just point at the camera.
Carry on. I'm a very sentimental man. All right.
I'm not even going to read your comment about ESG because we don't have time. So the title's good enough. Nah, I will. So it says, to get an ESG score acceptable to get loans from a big finance company, the belief is gaming companies now need to hire sick companies like Sweet Baby Games or other 13 consulting companies on that list to insert wokeness. So maybe that's a reason. There is one more thing, which I wasn't too sure about mentioning again. On the website, you may have noticed that little swirly logo.
Oh, we're mentioning that off YouTube, are we? Yeah,
that's a paedophile symbol.
What now?
People have drawn attention to, on their website, when you're scrolling the cursor around, it turns into a little swirly spiral logo. People have drawn attention to the fact that it looks a little bit like what the Pizzagate thing was.
So there's a list of paedophiles.
Okay. All right, okay. I
know so the FBI made this list of paedophile symbols available. They're like, paedophiles are using these symbols. And it just so happens to be the same one that Sweet Baby Inc. used. Now, I'm not saying that they are paedophiles as a result of that. They just are using a symbol that is also used by paedophiles. And as we know, just being left-wing and woke doesn't necessarily mean you're a pedo.
But.
So moving on.
Okay.
No,
make
but.
Up the rest.
I didn't say the but.
Okay. All right.
Let's get it on screen.
John, does it still work if you're doing it in archive? Yeah.
There we are.
That spiral. It looks quite similar.
And then you called your company Sweet Baby, which, yeah, so a lot of people kind of think they're nonsense. There's no evidence of that except the argument.
They have their own rubbish example, explanation for why they called themselves Sweet Baby is before they started the company, whenever they worked with somebody they liked, they would say, oh, they were a sweet baby to work with. They would use that. So it's less...
Again, sounds like a nonce.
Well, it's less noncey and more, okay, you're an actual child. You have the vocabulary and mental state of a 12-year-old.
Either way, I'm not saying they are pedos. They're probably not. I'll say that for legal reasons. But change your logo. Because it's a pedophile symbol. So
yeah, just that sensible advice. All right, I'll read some of my comments. Baron von Warhawk, Iceland is at the very edge of what can be considered Europe. Yeah, it's on the edge of the Earth near the Arctic Ocean. And the only reason you can really call it Europe is because a load of Europeans went and peopled it anyway. So, which, what?
Peopled it.
Yes, it's a word.
Is it?
Callum, I'm not going to take English lessons from you, of all people.
If I know it's wrong.
That's definitely...
But it is a word.
Allowable, yeah.
It is a word. You can people a place.
To people a region.
People a place?
Yeah. Yes.
That's amazing.
You learn something new every day. An island of volcanoes, ice and rock, and yet even though they managed to create a civilization in such a harsh landscape, yeah, they should be, you know, commended for being able to go to... I mean, that, to me, that's the European spirit, is to go to somewhere that anybody else would say you could never live there and go, no, I can make it work. This is fine. Despite that, they still need multiculturalism and migrants from the desert. This shows that globalization will chase you to the ends of the earth, and there is no place where they won't leave you alone. As long as one white community exists, these vampires will not stop.
Very, very good point. So that whole argument of someone like Peter Hitchens or all sorts of people, run away to somewhere else. They'll come and get you there, wherever that is. Or I'll run away to sort of Montana or something. They'll come for you there. I'll run away to Iceland. No, hide.
Yeah, exactly. Captain Charlie the Beagle. What's interesting is I saw an interesting video from Finland. One was a Muslim woman that had the audacity to complain that the problem was that there were too many Finns. That this is what happens. Mm. Anywhere these refugees go, they go and they go, why isn't this more like the place I just escaped from?
Because they're not refugees, they're piss takers, one and all.
Yeah.
Sorry, but the world has changed since the 2000s.
Everywhere she went, there were Finns. Who would expect that in Finland, eh? And there needed more diversity. What it is they go around and they say, why isn't this more me? Why am I not the center of this entire place? It's interesting, James Baldwin, you know, the civil rights author from the 1950s and 60s, the gay black guy?
Only vaguely aware.
He wrote a book called Notes of a Native Son. I don't know if the quote's from there, but Kunle Drukber occasionally shares a quote of his where he explains how he felt visiting a Swiss village. And he basically explains that, I looked around and saw that this wasn't my civilization. If you go back hundreds of years, these people are in the middle of a renaissance. If you go back 100 years, for me, I'm still in Africa waiting for the conquerors arrive, living in a mud hut somewhere. And that is the same thing feeling. I think that's an actually great explanation of the feeling of a lot of these people who come over and they see and they just look and they go, well, this isn't mine. This could never be mine. It's not of my people. And I want it to change because of that, because it makes me angry and resentful.
Not even changed, just destroyed.
Yeah, destroyed as well. Shall we go to a few of the comments on yours?
Okay. The level of the uncommitted vote is largely proportional to the Muslim population in the state, supposedly protesting the war in Gaza, very high in Minnesota and Michigan, for instance. That was Andrew Narog. Yeah, one thing I thought that might happen, or it looks like maybe is going to happen, that, well, in Britain, it seems like the Tory voters are just not going to vote. They're not going to, a lot of them probably might not, we don't know yet, but might not flip to Labour or Reform. They just won't vote for anyone. Looks like that maybe is what might happen. And maybe that's what might happen in America in November, that these 80 million Biden voters last time, millions and millions of voters that would normally vote Democrat, can't bring themselves to vote for the dreaded Trump, but they're not going to vote for Joe because he's a joke. So perhaps in November, the turnout will be a lot lower than it was last time. I don't know. That
would be a hell of a change in fortunes for the world's most popular president.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, speak volumes, wouldn't it? Mm. It goes from the most voted for man of all time to the vote out tanking.
Million, I think.
It was 80. It was over 80 odd or 80 plus. Yeah, silly numbers. Someone online says it's going to be fortified again. Well, we're off YouTube now, so we can say something about that, can we?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the worry, obviously, isn't it? That's the main worry. That's a glaring omission from my segment, was to talk about that and mention that. We can't really mention it on YouTube, can we? For fear of getting completely yeeted. But yeah, that is obviously the big, sort of the main worry, that however popular Trump is, it will just get fortified until Joe wins.
So the way they rig it in the UK is postal votes. And what you do is you just print them and say they were posted in. Completely fake. And you just take off names from the register. And I remember at the time of the 2020 election, we found that list where you could just type in someone's details. And someone found at least 20 dead people. I mean, some of them fought in the Civil War. and they'd all voted for
they
Biden.
They just loved Biden that much.
So a lot of the claims were that those people, that's a direct evidence of frauds. What's the numbers? The amount of, and the big suspicion, at least for me, in that election was the postal votes went from about, what was it, 15% of the American presidential election was postal votes last time, and it went to something like 40% of all votes in the entire election were suddenly postal votes.
I think
of course COVID, but that's the number one route to commit fraud.
People also point to the results, the line graph that you can see where Trump is starting to etch out quite a significant lead, and then bam, straight line goes straight up.
Why did that happen? Yeah. Because they were opening the votes that had been sent ages before via post.
They call it an F curve, where it's very vaguely.
Yeah, the F curve, and one, it suddenly just takes a right angle straight up. Some people point and they go, well, earlier on in the F curve, there's a few instances of that. Yeah, but that's when it was more neck and neck. This just happened to be near the end of the counting when Trump had got a comfortable lead going.
One last thing I want to say before I think we've got to bring the episode to a close is that voter fraud or discrepancies or falsifications in the American presidential elections are not new. I've very, very slowly been reading a very thick book about the 1960 election where JFK beat Nixon, and there was all sorts of anomalies.
I've heard that one might have been heavily fortified as well.
Especially on the Republican side, on the JFK side, that people that had died or people voting more than once for Jackie Boy. So it's not new.
But there we are. We're out of time. Bye.